always as easy as that song is to sing. Amen? I mean, it's always easy to say stuff, but not only do we have to talk the talk, but we have to walk the walk, and there's times when it's not as easy as it could be. And as I was thinking this week of what God wanted me to bring to us, me first and then to you, because I think, you know, being a pastor, one of the things I think about sermons a lot of times is God gives it to me to prepare it, but also during that time, he's making sure that I'm, quote, practicing what I'm preaching, you know, making sure that I'm doing my part, just not getting up here and asking you to do something that the Bible says to do, but I don't do, or that, you know, I'm not trying to put to practice in my own life. And that's part of the reason why we read that creed every Sunday morning when we read the verses, because we want to be able to say, this is my Bible, and I'm gonna do what it says. I'm going to practice the principles that we talk about. And today we're going to talk about living the Christian life and the way that we're supposed to live it. And before we get into our passage that we're going to read, I want to just look at Romans chapter 12 and specifically look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, but really look at what verse 2 says. Paul's talking to the Romans. They're a group of new Christians in Rome. So he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then in verse 2, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I think in living the life that Christ wants us to live, I think it's important for us, whether we're just starting our journey with Christ and just starting to follow Jesus, or whether we've done it for a long time, I think maybe not daily, but maybe weekly, monthly, at least as the older we get, making sure that we are asking ourselves, am I living a life that is pleasing to God? Am I, you know, kind of like what we were talking a little bit about last week. If I had to meet Jesus today, could I stand there with my head held high and look him in the face and say, I'm so glad I got to meet you? Or would I be, I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd have read my Bible more. You know, whatever it is, I wish I would have. I don't want to go to heaven and meet Jesus and say, I wish I would have. Because Jesus paid it all for us. And we should be willing to live a life because he was willing to give his life for us. So stand with me this morning. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Let's say our creed this morning. This is my belief. I really cannot talk this morning. Man alive. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible word of God. I'll put his principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul's talking to another young group of believers, another church in the book of Ephesus. And he's been giving some instructions the first four chapters. And then we get to chapter 5, and he says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, and for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand that this passage is to a group of people who need a life change. They've been raised, their culture is one way. They've been raised in an anti-God place, and they need to change their ways. And Father, we've grown up and we are raised in a place that isn't always as Christian as we would like it to be. Some people haven't gone to church all their lives like others have. Some people just have been introduced to Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would help us to help each other understand that we have a responsibility to you, to live our lives for you, to follow you. And that's going to mean some change. Help us to accept that change, not because it's what we want to do, but because it's what you've asked us to do. I ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. You read a passage like this, and I can't help but think about the comedian that I know over the last 20 years since I've been here. I've mentioned the name Mike Warnke many, many times, and one of his favorite sayings that I memorized when I was a teenager is talking about the do's in the Bible and the don'ts in the Bible. And this is one of those don't chapters, if you will, but realizing that there are a lot more, as Mike Warnke says, there's a lot more do's in the book than there are don'ts. And if you spend your time doing the do's, you won't have time to do the don'ts, so you can't, so you won't, so it's cool. Okay? And that's really the cusp of what we really need to think about as followers of Jesus is to try to learn as much about God, as much about Jesus as we can, and do those things that would help us be following his example. And when we're trying to do the do's, we really don't have time or the desire to do the don'ts. And that is honestly the best way to go about creating new behaviors or new habits, is find something else to do. And in this passage, you have to maybe go back in history a little bit and understand what the people in Ephesus were like. Okay, it's a brand new church. There have been some Jews that were followers of Jesus, and they had to spread out, leave Jerusalem. And so some of them went to Ephesus and started a church. But you have this group of people in Ephesus, and it's a pagan city. They worship idols. They worship, they worship themselves, if you really want to be honest with yourself. They do their own thing. A big part of pagan worship is a lot of sexual immorality and stuff. There's temple prostitutes and there's all kinds of stuff. And so when these people decide to start following Jesus, Paul says you can't conform and you can't keep doing the stuff that you used to do. And he was pointing out things in their world, in their life, that they needed to stop. And I believe that we serve a great God who, when we decide to start following Jesus, gives us the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit starts to enlighten us to the things that we're doing that don't please God. And he says, do this instead. And so he goes through, and we're not going to talk a lot about the don'ts here this morning. What I want to do for you this morning is give you a charge to not conform to the world's pattern. And I don't have to tell you what the world's pattern is. The Holy Spirit tells us what that is. We know that there are things going on in our world that aren't what God would want us to do. And so we just have to be strong in our faith and walk with Him through all the stuff. But what it takes is us being willing to take a couple of steps forward and, first of all, live as children of light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's another passage that says He's the light of the world. And so we're children of Christ. There's a song that we used to sing when I was a kid in Sunday school, and it says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And part of the chorus is, hide it under a bushel or hide the light. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to let it shine. And the way that we let our light shine as followers of Christ is that we find out what it is that pleases God. In Romans chapter 2, it says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if we're asking God to help us live the lives that we're supposed to live, the Holy Spirit is going to help us figure out what pleases God. And then we not only find out what pleases God, but we have to be willing to do things His way. I don't know how many of you have ever had a job where you had a boss and he said, I want you to do it this way. And you went, yeah, but I could do it so much better if I did it my way. And I grew up and I started as a mechanic at a John Deere dealership. And my boss said, okay, this is the way I want you to fix. This is the way I want you to do things. And he said, when you figured out how to do it my way, he goes, then if you want to veer off a little bit and maybe incorporate some of your own ways of doing something that you think might be better, he goes, that's okay. And as long as you get it done and you do it right. So I did that. And he had a lot of trust in me, and it all worked out really well. And I think as Christians, I think at times it's like, okay, when we first start following Jesus, it's like we need to do things just the way. And there is no deviation because we want to do it the right way. Then as we get older in Christ, we get a little bit more secure, I guess you would say, in our relationship with God. And it's not that we go out of bounds or anything like that, but it's just we feel freer because we know what God wants. We're not just trying to follow the strict. It's kind of like in the NFL, there's holding. and you don't really know what holding is. I don't think anybody knows what holding is in the NFL. But there's a rule that says you don't hold. And so you make sure that you stay within the rules, but it's not always the same for everybody. We just have to be willing to read God's word when we feel the Holy Spirit telling us these are the things he wants us to do, these are the things that he doesn't want us to do. We have to be willing to do them his way. And also be wise. Wisdom's an interesting thing. You know, when Solomon got to be king in the Old Testament, God asked him, you can have riches, power, or wisdom. What do you want? And Solomon said, I want wisdom. And along with wisdom, he got power and riches. But being wise doesn't mean you're smart. And if you know what I mean, because he was maybe a wise man, but he wasn't a very smart man. He let his kingdom be infected by all kinds of religious practices because he decided to marry 700 women. And if you have that many wives and you aren't trying to please all of them and let them worship their God in your place where you're supposed to be worshiping God alone, it divides you. And so it's just a really good illustration for us to understand that we need to live as wise, not unwise. I heard it said the other day, being wise or being educated means that you know that a tomato is a fruit. Being wise means that you don't put it in a fruit salad, though. And I would agree with that. So we need to live wise, smart lives. Pay attention to the list, though. As you read the Word of God, I should have an S on it. It shouldn't be this list, okay? Just this list. There's a lot of lists in the Bibles where in Ephesians chapter 6, he's going to tell us these are the fruits of the flesh and these are the fruits of the Spirit. There's a lot of lists of do's and don'ts in the Bible. But again, there's more do's in the book than there is don'ts. And so you need to look at it and make sure that you pay attention to the list. Because especially with the do's in this passage, Paul says these things are improper. Okay? He's trying to help this group of people know that there are some things in this world you should do and there are some things that you should not do. And so he gives them a list of the stuff that's going on in their town where they live, and he's saying these are improper. But it's not just enough to know that they're improper. I think it's really important for us to understand why they're mentioned in the list. And when God tells you to do something, or if he tells you not to do something, I think it's good for us to figure out why. And I don't think it's a bad thing to try to figure out. You know, if God tells you to go somewhere or do something, just do it, okay? It'll save you a lot of trouble. But honestly, there are some things that you may see in the Bible and you don't understand. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, God does not tell us not to do something because he's a fun sucker and just doesn't want us to have any fun in the world. When God says don't do something, he's telling us that because he knows that's best for us. He's got our best interest at heart. I was probably 20 years old in the late 80s. I had some friends. We all hung out together and everything. I worked a lot, was building a race car, so I didn't hang out with my friends as much as I used to. But I remember one time them asking me, it was right around the time when the virus AIDS came out. And everybody was scared to death of the AIDS virus. And they were talking about it one day, and I was like, well, you know, whatever. And they were like, doesn't it bother you? Doesn't it scare you? I'm like, no, it doesn't. And they're like, why not? I said, because I've never slept with a girl, you know. And I took God's word at don't have sex before marriage pretty seriously at the time. I still do. And I realized that not having sex before marriage keeps you from having a lot of problems. And anybody that has had, you know, has had sex before marriage, you know what kind of problems it creates. Is it fun? I'm sure it is. Sex in marriage is fun. But outside the bonds of marriage, it causes problems. And you pay for that because it says God's wrath is the consequence. And it may not be that he strikes you dead, but the Bible says you reap what you sow. And so, you know, if you go out and you steal somebody's car, is God going to forgive you of that? Yes, he is, if you ask him to. Is society going to demand that you pay a price for doing that? Yes, they are. Is God going to get you out of that? Probably not. Because if you do the crime, you do the time, you know? That's the way our world works. Find Jesus in prison? Great. You got a big mission field in prison. But you're not going to get out of prison just because you got saved. And I think we have to realize that there are consequences to not following the list and not following God's direction. At the end of this passage, he says we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit be our guide. We need to let his light shine through us. And we need to listen to his quiet voice. There are people in the world who get saved and are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you that because the book of the Acts tells us that, okay? It's part of the missionary, Paul's missionary journey's progress, where he meets some people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're like, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, we don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. And he tells them about the Holy Spirit. He lays his hands on them. And then they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you that because I believe that every person that gets saved, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He tells people in Acts 1:8, he says, you'll have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody, it's like they've got that the Greek word is a paraclete. It's a helper. It's a guide. And the Holy Spirit will help us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, your relationship with Jesus changes immensely. And we have to be willing to come to the place where we ask Jesus for forgiveness and we ask Jesus for our salvation. But I think there's a place where in this passage, he tells this group of young believers, he says, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit gets us. We get all the Holy Spirit, and then he starts to try to get all of us. And that process is a lifelong pursuit of becoming like Jesus and trying to live the life that God wants us to. The real question in your relationship with God, though, is this. The application this morning is simply this. Do you want to live like Jesus? And if you say you do, then it's going to take some work on your part, and it's going to take you allowing God to do his work in you. I hope you want to live like Jesus. Let's stand this morning.